welcome to episode 178 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome new ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Laura, and our special guests Jeremy Brady and Kelsey Austin. Jeremy and Kelsey join us tonight as adventure travel enthusiasts and global purpose specialists at G Adventures, where they say, making the world a better place is easy. All you have to do is have the time of your life. One of the fastest growing trends in the world of travel is adventure travel. Defining exactly what it means is a little tricky. For some, adventure could mean leisurely biking and hiking tours, which I could get into. For others, it might mean base jumping into an underground cave in Mexico for my suicidal friend, Walter. The main facets of adventure travel usually include traveling to a distant location, interacting with different cultures, and undertaking a physical activity of some kind. Can you imagine paddling a kayak through the lush vegetation of the Amazon rainforest? Can you picture walking side by side with the mighty elephants of Africa, or a bike trek along the Great Wall of China, or maybe a cattle drive through Patagonia is more your speed, or camping under the stars on an iceberg in Antarctica? If any of these trips sound like a great way to spend your holiday, then adventure travel may be for you. So let's get started. Okay, guys, so I just spewed out a definition of adventure travel. Is that what adventure travel means to G Adventures? Can you talk a little bit about how you define adventure travel?
So who wants to take this? Kelsey, do you want me to speak to it?
No, I can take it and run with it. Yeah, I mean, adventure travel does have a pretty wide range of definitions, and that's definitely been an underlining value of G Adventures to to allow for adventure experiences, regardless of what your definition is. So a lot of people that we book with just kind of stick to the cultural immersion side of that. So you don't need to be skydiving necessarily or hiking to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro for it to be considered adventure travel. So the definitions are wide open, and we do cater to quite a wide range of adventure travelers.
And, to kind of speak to it a little bit more as well, we work with an organization called the Adventure Travel Trade Association, ATTA. They're a great resource here. They talk about, what labels a travel experience adventure. And three components that they say that have to fall in line with that, physical activity, which can be anything from walking to, trekking Mount Kili and all in between. But more importantly, Kelsey kind of touched upon it, it's that cultural immersive aspect. So you're connecting with the people and you're interacting with your environment. So physical activity, cultural immersion, and interaction with your environment. Those are the three biggest things. And that's where you can break it down into different types of adventure travel. So there's soft adventure and then there's hard adventure. Hard adventure is what it used to be with just trekking and cycling, you're going to sweat pretty much. Mm-hmm. But now we've kind of broken this down a little easier for you. So a lot of us are really into meeting cultures, meeting people, and that's where that soft adventure kind of fits perfect with that traveler that wants to, get immersed and learn something about a different destination.
So does that mean with soft travel that you don't have any physical activity involved, or should you expect that you're going to be moving a bit and, you need to have a certain physical fitness level to do those things?
I would say that, our rule of thumb is if you can pick up your own bag and walk up one flight of stairs, you're fit to go on an adventure travel experience. I would say it's simple, like you're on the go. I mean, you're not going to sit around on an adventure travel experience. If it's if you're expecting a hotel stay, then that's a totally different experience. You're going to spend very little time in the hotel. You're going to be out. So I'd say maybe walking around the Christmas market or going around the spice markets, that type of thing.
So you do stay in hotels. What you're just saying is if you're expecting to stay in a hotel, hang out there all day and use the facilities, adventure travel's not for you.
Correct.
Good. Because some of us don't like camping.
That's more my speed of adventure travel. No cliff diving involved.
Well, one of
no mandatory shark diving, we promise.
Oh, yay. What about hippo diving?
Ooh.
That seems to be Sandy's latest fixation. She apparently wants to kill herself.
Baby hippos are so cute. Yeah. So I came from a background before I was a travel agent. I worked for a solar company. And the corporate culture of G-Adventures really reminds me of the corporate culture of the solar company that I worked for. So can you guys talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's such a cool aspect of what your company does and stands for. The people, the purpose, the what is it, the five P's?
Five values.
Yes, there you go.
So G-Adventures as a whole, when you ask any single one of us, you know, what we're in the business of, we believe ourselves to be a social enterprise in the business of changing lives, and that's our core mantra. And one of our biggest core values is we love changing people's lives. So there you go, one and one. We believe that travel can be one of the greatest forms of wealth distribution the world's ever seen, and that's kind of our mindset, is we want to use travel as that force for good to, you know, make an impact and change lives, not only for the traveler, but the local destinations we visit and the people and the communities in there. Because we found out, you know, travel is probably, yeah, right behind oil in some of the poorest countries as far as, you know, wealth and jobs and opportunities. So we even did some surveys and we wanted to find out a little bit more too. And, let's just say you went to Costa Rica for $100, paid $100 to go to Costa Rica. You know, what percentage of that do you think actually stays in Costa Rica? I'll ask.
$50.
$50? Any other takers?
I hope it's at least $50.
I hope it's more like $80. But no,
like $25.
So we're keeping the math simple just for the sake of it. But $5.
Wow.
5%. Think about that for a second. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Travel's one of the largest sources of revenue, yet only 5% of that is actually doing that. So we kind of have this mindset to show the world that you can still do great things, you can still travel and have the time of your life, but you're doing good as long as you're using, you know, sustainable travel and responsible tourism. So on average, you know, with G-Adventures and adventure travel, 60% of that stays in the country. So that's a big difference. So imagine all the change you can make with that.
Yeah.
So we try to lead in with that, especially with all of our content, all of our brochures. You'll see that we make a huge impact in the destinations that we go to.
So I'm Susie Skeptical here, and I would love to hear a little bit more about how that happens. Is it by hiring local guides? Like, where is that money going that's making the difference, and what's the difference between that and another tour company that's only giving back 5%?
Yeah, hiring local guides is a big aspect of that. Our guides, or we call them CEOs, which stands for Chief Experience Officer. So your CEO is native to that region. So that's a huge aspect of it. We also strive to use locally owned and operated accommodations wherever possible. So a good majority of the places that you stay on a G-Adventures trip will be locally owned. So that helps a lot. Another large facet of our business, the social enterprise side called Planetera, plays a large part of how we give back as well. So we started this arm of our company by investing in projects around the world to help the local communities. So instead of just having a charity where we write a check and walk away, we've helped get businesses off the ground that can train locals, be self-system in, and take advantage of those businesses. But it provides great opportunities for locals to learn skills, marketable trades, and improve the local economy.
And in addition to that, you know, with a lot of companies, we found out, you know, a good chunk of that money that's not, you know, that 5% really going to the country, we found that a good chunk of that money is that third-party operating costs. So what we did in lieu of that was we built regional offices all around the world and hired all locals to run those programs. So they're, you know, doing all different departments of, you know, operations, finance, marketing, sales. And that's, in turn, keeping more of those travel dollars in that destination. More importantly, you're getting local pricing as well. So it's kind of a win-win for the traveler and also the community.
So getting local pricing, but paying in your local currency, correct?
Correct, yep.
I love that. I love that it makes it sustainable, and it's not just going in and exploiting an area where you see, you know, because a lot of these places you see such a vast difference in the haves and have-nots, and that always just kind of bothers me, you know.
One of the things we talked, about a little bit when we were having breakfast was that a movement that also has some attention called volunteerism, and the difference between the way GE Ventures looks at it. And oftentimes with this, with volunteerism, people go in and create dependency, and they don't create independency. You know, they don't, they don't go in and breathe life into support the people who are there. Instead, they come in kind of like the big white hope, you know. And so GE Ventures, you know, philosophy around that is to really, you know, that they have gifts to offer us, and that if we can, you know, spread this green paper around so that everybody has a good life, you know, then we're all, we all win. It's a win for all of us. So I love that part of it, you know, as you imagine I would, but I love that part of it.
So now that we're intrigued, are there, it's probably easier for you to talk about places that GE Adventures does not go rather than places that you do. So can you sort of describe your global cover? I mean, is it one of those things where no matter where you want to go, GE Adventures can take you there?
There's a good chance. we do operate on all seven continents. We have over 700 different trip itineraries and visit over 100 countries. So we're out there in a big way.
I know you guys are just adding on. Is it Borneo? Is that one of your new places you're going to?
So we've added that in one of our travel lines. So yeah, to also kind of touch upon that 700 different trips, it's a little overwhelming. So everyone's like, well, where do I go? How do I begin? We found that over time our travelers evolved, and then our brand evolved into different, you know, travel styles. Because we found out that most people, they have a way they like to travel, and we still wanted to keep that, you know, meet their needs that way. So we segmented all of our trips into styles of travel, so that way it matches you with like-minded individuals, and in turn, you know, you have an active travel style with all active folks. So that would be, you know, that hard adventure segment where you're hiking, trekking, cycling. And then you may have like a local living experience where you're staying in a sustainable farmhouse in Iceland for a week. Or, you know, the difference we have now recently is a partnership with National Geographic. So now we offer a travel line with them called National Geographic Journeys. And that's going to be one of our more upgraded travel styles, and it's going to be a little more comfortable. So those that, you know, don't want to camp, well, we can help you out a little bit on that one. Some nice little boutique hotels that are locally owned, and that also includes some more things into those trips. For example, you know, you have these exclusive content you have exclusive content with National Geographic. So I was in Jordan back in November, or it's 2 years ago. Time flies. I was back in Jordan 2 years ago, and before I saw Petra, I got to meet up with an archaeologist who shared parts of Petra that he discovered. So that's some fascinating things. National Geographic is not sharing that on any other travel line. It's only with GE Adventures. So it's really exciting. You can go like on one of our Africa safari experiences, and you get to go on the game drive with some National Geographic researchers that are part of the Big Cats Initiative, which is one of their largest projects to date. So fun stuff, exciting all over the world.
That's definitely on my bucket list.
So talk about a little bit about, and it sounds like we have pretty much any age group covered or any activity group, but what about like family groups? Like what's the youngest a kid might be able to go? Or do you have things that are, I know that you have family things where people who aren't part of a family can't come. Is that still the case? I had a couple that wanted to go on a trip that was a family trip and they couldn't go.
Absolutely. We have a family line. So that's going to have a select trips that are just more geared for families. They have more inclusions, bigger hotels, comfortable hotels that cater. I would say the ages, I would go no lower than 5 or 6. That's kind of the middle ground right there. Because to be honest, you know, you're still kind of on the go. So you got to think, I mean, I have a toddler, he's 4 years old, and I'm not quite sure I'm ready to take him, carry him everywhere. especially some of the remote places you go. So I would say it's going to be more of a learning experience once they hit that 6 and above age, and that's going to be really exciting for them.
Kind of an obvious topic here, since Jeremy is very outnumbered, is that I know that a really big part of your audience is single female travelers, you know, who find comfort in the smaller groups and, you know, especially kind of going off on being able to immerse in countries. Is that correct?
Absolutely. That's the majority of the American demographic of GE Adventures travelers. I think at least 60% are solo female travelers.
Oh, wow.
So it provides a great safety net to have your accommodation and your transportation squared away. You're with a group, and there's that comfort and safety there, but still a lot of free time to ensure that the trip is still your own. You can pick and choose activities as you wish, so you're not being herded around on a big,
motorcoach
bus tour. Yeah. Like some people kind of get that impression, and it's definitely not that.
Is there a single supplement?
Not a mandatory one. If you do want to upgrade and have your own room on a trip, you can pay to do so, but you're not obligated to pay if you're booking on as a single traveler. You'll get matched with someone of the same gender.
Okay.
And I've always found it's a really reasonable supplement for that single room upgrade. It's not like it's some sort of inflated number. You feel like it's pretty much just paying for your
hotel.
Just
that double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I've traveled with Z as a single traveler and met great friends that I still keep in touch with to this day that I was randomly paired with in Costa Rica.
We still keep in touch. Kelsey's keeping quiet here. She's actually one of those solo female travelers that've been on our trips. And you went to Costa Rica, correct? You did our Costa Rica quest, I believe, one of our cool lead-in trips.
I did, yeah, and came back for more in Central America. So did Guatemala, Belize, and Mexico with G as a solo female traveler. Again, met a great group of people, and we still keep in touch. We do like a group on Facebook and, share photos around and keep in touch with each other. It's a fantastic way to go as a solo female traveler. I can absolutely attest to that, long before I was on G's payroll.
That's awesome.
Well, a couple weeks ago on your Facebook page, They used one of your purpose cards, and they asked us to share one of the moments in travel that had changed us. So I'm wondering if there's either a moment in travel or a moment on those trips that you've been on with G that you thought, I'm going to be different because of this, you know?
Oh, man. I mean, I know this is supposed to be a short podcast, but we can do this. I got to go to Cambodia with G Adventures, and that was my first time in Asia, traveling solo as well, which I was quite nervous about, to be perfectly honest. And we had a guide who was Cambodian. He had lived through Pol Pot's regime and all of the turmoil that Cambodia has been through just within my lifetime, a little bit more. And so just interacting with our guide was life-changing. He's such an optimistic, amazing person. He had so much insight to share, despite having gone through so much. The trip itself, the country is phenomenal, but having that personal touch and someone who's from that area that has so much personal experience to share really made it life-changing.
That's on my bucket list, Southeast Asia.
I sent a client, a couple, to on the Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand trip, and she posted very little on Facebook while she was traveling, but she posted from Cambodia. She actually posted pictures from the killing fields and said, this is,
yeah,
I just feel like you need to see this. You know, nobody really sees it. So
yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yes. It was really hard. And I was a history major, my undergraduate degree, and it made me realize how kind of American and Eurocentric my education was, that I was even studying history and knew next to nothing about this. So it was heartbreaking and so important that that experience was shared with us.
How about you, Jer?
Oh, man.
Yeah,
years.
It got real heavy.
I know. I'm like,
that's I think it's important. I think,
yeah.
You know, that when we open ourselves up to let the fabric of who, you know, the, I mean, how the fact that you look on gratitude, just, you know, your bucket got so big with that.
Blew the roof off, absolutely.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Light
it up, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Keeps growing. Now, over the years, I've had the privilege of, you know, caught the travel bug early in life, too. So I used to, my parents were stationed overseas in Germany. So every long weekend, you know, we would travel somewhere. And then eventually I got into the travel industry, was a travel agent. Did a lot of the Caribbean, you know, you start out, you check out the cruises, you do the all-inclusives. Mm-hmm. And, then I married my wife back in 2013, and we didn't have a vacation yet. We didn't actually do a vacation together. And when I signed on to G, I knew there was this childhood dream to always see the pyramids. And it's one of those moments where you think, oh, that'd be really cool to see those. But you kind of in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's just one of those, oh, that's cool to see. I see pictures of it. And then finally, the opportunity presented itself, and I decided, you know what, we're going to Egypt. That's going to be our first trip. And that was her first trip out of the country. So,
oh, wow.
Go Egypt.
We're in trouble now.
Yeah, we're from Central PA, so you can say that around our family. They're like, what, Egypt? And that trip changed us as a couple, and really – you know, they say you're really not married until you travel together with someone, and if you can manage traveling together, then it's meant to be. And I truly believe that too. And what was fascinating was, you know, being in the travel industry, I got to travel quite a bit, but this moment I got to watch it through her eyes and enjoy it, and we both got to enjoy something together for the first time. So the pyramids, they lived up to everything they could be. But was really the best, most memorable moment for me was I surprised her, and we decided to do the hot air balloon experience over the Valley of the Kings.
Oh, man.
Unreal. But the best part, I have this memory in my head, is just the look on her face when she's like, are we doing this? And she looked at me, and like the excitement, you just saw she caught the wanderlust, and just... That whenever I'm about to present, or, you know, that's like my 10-second game changer. I just think of that, and it just makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. And we've been closer since. That's like one of the best trips I've ever had. Probably my favorite country and experience I've ever been to.
That actually is, that's something we've talked about before on our podcast, is when to upgrade. And that's just one of those things. It's like, if you get a chance like that, do it. Yeah. You know, don't hesitate. You got to do it, because just hearing you talk about it and how much it affects you even today, years and years later,
yeah.
You know, and it's just one moment where you're like, yep, we're going to do this, you know, and that's all it is.
It's interesting, you know, travel, you know, we travel, and it's all about the stories. Like, you'll see that you'll go to the historical sites, because I mean, why else would you go there? Right. But it's those little things that you don't even expect are the things that you end up talking about and cherishing for the rest of your life. And that's every country I've been to has a little piece of it that, you know, a little moment. It may not be the main highlight. You know, I saw Machu Picchu, but there's just like little things, being in a village with the family and just watching, you know, people watching and just enjoying the moment. Those are the little things I enjoy the most out of experiences.
So Jeremy, now I have to admit that I've, you know, stalked you a little bit on Facebook and stalked your pictures more than you. But and I saw a picture of, it looked like you riding a camel.
Yes, yeah. My wife and I, we part of our excursion was when we saw the pyramids. So what's really interesting is the pyramids are right next to the city. So you don't really see that in the pictures. Which, you know, this is, it's strange. So we decided, we pulled up to the pyramids, and then our CEO, his name was Semsem, and I'll tell more about him later on, but Semsem was like, I have an idea here. How many of you, you know, want to ride the camel? We're like, oh, yeah, all of us, you know, never ridden a camel before. So he's like, all right, so we could do it here, but if you want to hop on our van, we're going to drive a little bit out, and then we're going to come in on camel. So what was cool was we went around the other side of the pyramids, drove out about 15 minutes, and then we rode camels in the desert, so it looked like you were riding into the pyramids. It was just really, really cool.
You had movie theme music going in your head.
I was amazing.
On Lawrence of Arabia.
Indiana Jones.
Took Pizza Hut out of the frame.
Yeah. Take Pizza Hut out, yeah.
Well, now I need to go back and ride a camel.
I can't believe you went all the way there, Lindsay, yeah, and didn't ride a camel. How does that happen?
I wanted to, but I don't know. My husband was not.
I can't imagine that, Lindsay.
Let's just say I really agree with you on that. You're not really married until you travel.
Stop putting up with my stuff.
I don't know. Those balloons probably got you brownie points for at least a decade, so you can ride that for a little while. Yeah.
I would have been over the moon. That's a really good one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so every husband who's now listening to our podcast is thinking, I don't stand a chance.
Yeah. All you got to do, guys.
The funny thing is, you watch someone that's never really traveled before and then experience it. And then when they catch the wanderlust, now it's like, oh, where are we going next? Where are we going next? And I got to one-up this now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you set the bar high. Yeah.
So where are you going next?
Something that you can.
But it's also that, I'm kind of the Hallmark sappy person of the bunch, and I can kind of close my eyes and see that moment with you. Of you guys in that, and her just like, you're kidding me. We're really going? We're like, this is the thing that happens in Hallmark movies, or in dreams, that you sail off together in the hot air balloon over the desert. I can see that and see, rising up above the pyramid and looking out on everything and thinking, Pennsylvania's never going to look good again. it's just this big, beautiful world that's out there and all that we've, appreciating just all of that together.
Absolutely.
So if I can, I'm going to put you on the spot, and if I completely stump you, then we can always cut it out, but hopefully I won't. So I want to play a game with all these destinations that you have. I sort of want to go with your extremes. I want to hear what you have to say about it. So let's say that we have someone who wants to ease in to adventure travel, who's been doing the cruising and the all-inclusives, and they're like, well, I know I need to do more, but I kind of like my fruity beverage by the pool. Where would you start with someone like that? What do you think from your 700 tours might be some ideas of where they might want to go next?
I'd say Thailand or Costa Rica are really good options. Our Costa Rica trip, we have quite a few Costa Rica trips, but I would say our most popular one is a 9-day trip, and you get a little bit of everything. There's some of the outdoor walking through Monteverde Cloud Forest. There's some adrenaline junkie stuff. If you're up for that, you can go whitewater rafting or canyoneering, but you also get beach time with your fruity drink with an umbrella in it. So that was a great, great trip, and I think a good kind of, I call it the gateway trip.
that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
Adventure travel, Costa Rica is a good spot.
And then for Thailand, do you do the beaches and things in Thailand as well as the cities?
Yeah. So with most of our trips, we'll start in Bangkok just because that's the main airport. So it does kind of keep it simple that way. But we have trips that go up to northern Thailand, to Chiang Mai and the hill tribes. So some great cultural immersion there. And a lot of them head south as well to the islands. There's west and east coast islands that are both phenomenal. And a lot of trips hit a couple of those.
Would you recommend like one of your sailing trips to the Maldives or something for someone who's looking for it? Wouldn't that be a nice kind of like, you want to do overwater bungalow, looky here.
I think Jeremy can speak personally to that.
So we did Egypt year one, so I had the top Egypt. So, so I could speak to that. I've done the sailing in the Maldives, and it's a different experience. I'll say that it's not really a luxury experience. It's you're sailing. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and it's really cool and fascinating because the sailing programs only have up to 8 people, so you have a total of 4 cabins, and it's a lot of free time relaxing. You're snorkeling twice a day. All you have an onboard chef that makes all of your meals from scratch, and then you know every now and then you're jonesing for some safe food. They're like, here's some spaghetti. They made me a pizza one night. It's really fun. I'm just like, this was like at the end of a 2-week trip. So we did a land trip in Sri Lanka, and then we flew down to the Maldives to go sail for 7 days. And it was like day 14, and I was kind of curried out at that moment. So I had a lot of curry, and I'm like, I just want a pizza, or I just want spaghetti or something. And I guess they overheard me. And next thing you know, at dinner, they like made me a plate without even saying anything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys are amazing. Fascinating. But what's really fun and exciting too is you get to visit some of the islands. And we were there during a time when there was this festival going on, and we were the only 8 outsiders on that island with the locals. And it was just, we felt like we were part of the community. And that's really what I'm talking about when we say, you know, we want to interact with your environment and get immersed. That's what adventure travel is. It's exploring the unknown, you know, doing something that you can't get back at home and experiencing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our belief from the beginning was you have everything at home. You have your comforts of home. But when you travel, try to do something different. Mm-hmm. And because guess what? Those comforts will be right there when you come back. So this is something new. And this is, you know, what brings people together and changes lives. So
then the other extreme, what about that guy who, you know, has been in the Army and has been jumping out of planes his whole life and, you know, has the, you know, passed the Navy SEALs exam. I just made up somebody completely, but, you know, has all the physical, no physical limitations whatsoever and all the adrenaline junkiness out there. What are some of your more hardcore extreme trips that you would think of?
Well, as Jeremy said, we have an active style trip. So there's a whole brochure dedicated, a whole section of our website dedicated to those active style trips. So you can check out Mont Blanc, Mount Kilimanjaro, Everest Base Camp, Machu Picchu. We have cycling tours. We have multi-sport tours where you do some hiking, some rafting, some cycling. So, as an adrenaline junkie, you can definitely eat your heart out.
There is, yes, absolutely. I'd say that's a little more cushiony, but...
the Antarctica one is?
But you're out in, like, you know, 12-degree temperatures in those little...
yeah, it's cold.
Rafts, you know?
I will say, it was actually warmer in Antarctica on some winter days than it was in Pennsylvania. So we if you can handle your Pennsylvania, New England, Midwest, you can handle Antarctica. You'll be just fine.
I'm waiting for it.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that before I moved from California.
He's good at tricking people, isn't he?
Alley girl, moving up.
So with those high active trips, are they literally all day, every day, just bike, 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 sleep, bike, 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 sleep, or is it broken up a bit more?
I can speak to one of my more recent journeys. So I did the Laris trek in Peru, which is the alternative trek that we do when the Inca Trail is sold out. And this one is actually harder and goes up to higher altitudes. So I think we went up to, I believe it was 15,000 feet, highest I've ever been in my life. And what was really unique about it was we're broken into groups. So we have porters with us, and then we have a specialist. So we have CEOs that are specialists, and our specialists on the Inca Trail and the Laris Trek are called Inca Warriors. And these guys and gals you can feel they live the mountain, they breathe the mountain, their mannerisms, everything about them, like they're so collected and calm, and they're there to be your life coach in moments because you're sitting there like, I don't know if I can do this. We had one of our girls, I think she was almost to the peak, and she just didn't realize she was so close. She sat down and was doing a Facebook Live, like doing clips the whole way, and she was going to upload them later. But one of the clips, she was sitting there, she was crying. She's like, I don't think I can do it. And one of our porters came up next to her, started like, oh, it's okay. You just go a little bit more. And, like, just kept that doors, like, and sat there the whole time with her until she had the courage, and then walked with her all the way to the top. So they take a great care of you, and it's for all different levels. So there are some folks, like, we combined with another group that was more of a backpacker 18-year-old group, so those guys were just, like, running up the mountain. We're like, eh, I'm okay with that. Okay. But there's going to be different lengths, and they all work together. It's a great team. The porters, the cooks, they all take care of things for you. The best part is you just have to carry a little day bag, which is pretty much your water and a little snack for the day, and your porters have your big bag, and they take it with them up the trek. It's kind of humiliating, though, when they fly by you carrying all these bags.
All your earthly possessions.
But they set everything up for you. It's really cool. We break it up into sessions, so you'll hike for maybe 2-3 hours. You'll have a snack or a break or a first stop where we'll have lunch. And then we'll get down for the final couple hours to do dinner, and then usually get to share stories and experiences of the day. And, of course, yeah, you get to reminisce, like, I can't believe we did that. it's a lot of fun because it feels like you're going through a journey with someone and with a couple of folks, and, like, you feel bonded and connected. So it's amazing how travel brings everyone together. Mm-hmm. And now we have this lifelong bond. Like, I still message these folks, you know, again, like Kelsey said, she still has friends on her Facebook group. We end up becoming lifelong friends, and we share, like, oh, we should reunite, do something else. And I'm like, well, maybe something a little easier. I'm okay with that. Like, let's
summer camp.
Let's go sailing again. Let's go sailing in Bali or something.
What about the couple or the group of friends, like, myself and Sandy, who are complete opposite spectrum. She would want to be on that crazy hanging off the edge of a cliff trip, and I would want to be in the plushest thing that you have. What's a good middle of the road suggestions would you have for maybe some couples or groups that maybe one's more active than the other one?
We actually we have our classic travel line, which is our biggest, it's our main travel line. And that one actually has elements of active in it that you can participate in. So that would feed that need for those that want to do the super active thing, but they don't have to do it the whole trip. So an example, like, I could say I want to do a little mini cycling tour in the city. That doesn't mean I want to cycle the whole trip. Uh-huh. But then some of my other friends, you know, they could do the wine tour while I'm cycling, which I don't know what I was thinking there.
Wait, let me rethink this.
plan accordingly, right? Don't be overambitious.
You talked a little bit about, you know, there's a group of 18-year-olds with backpacks. Don't you have a line that focuses kind of on the younger generation, don't you? Specifically for that?
Yep, we do.
Yeah, so there's an 18 to 30 somethings, we call it. And that's one of our travel styles as well.
And those tend to be a little bit more off the beaten path.
It's almost like a preset backpacking itinerary. So, like, it's just a preset itinerary with accommodations, transportation, and then it's a la carte pay-as-you-go, just like you traditionally would as a backpacker.
Oh, cool.
Are there minimum ages? I know you're saying 18-year-olds. But is 18, like, the minimum age you can come by yourself? Is that, sounds like that's not a problem.
Yeah.
So, like, high school graduation trip, and you're kicking your kid out the door, that would be a good thing.
I feel like you're planning something.
Rising senior next year.
Yeah, mom and dad are like, okay. But at the same time, they're like, well, I don't want my kid to travel Southeast Asia all by themselves. Right. I'd rather them, you know, have someone looking out for them. So this is a great alternative to that, where they still have that freedom, mm-hmm. and they get to bond with the group of friends as well. And still have that backpacking experience. Just, they have a local guide with them, you know, all the transportation accommodations taken care of, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So you don't get that phone call, hey, mom, I'm stuck, stranded.
Yeah.
That's a phone call I'm not looking forward to having. Hopefully my kid, a little more sappier.
I bet it'll happen, though. It could happen, so. So trip length, because that's one thing I've noticed with G-Adventures. You do need to budget some of your precious American vacation time for these trips. I know you have some shorter trips, but a lot of these are a week or more. Yes?
Correct, yep. And just to kind of speak to it, we've actually evolved. So think about, just to kind of put us in position here, we're a multinational company, and we launched in the U.S. about 2011, so 7 years ago. And to this day, the U.S. is only about 20% of our business. So when you start it, you know, a travel company, you got to think, where would be my biggest opportunity? Well, we're going to go where Europe and Australia is, where they had those four-week, five-week holidays. Mm-hmm. But now we finally grown to that level, so now we have our trips gearing more towards that North America clientele, because yeah, that 7 to 10 days is kind of a great window, and that's why you'll see a good bit of our collection now having those 7 to 10 day trips to fit. So yeah, you do have to commit to a whole week, but think of it as you're taking 5 business days and then you're overlapping the weekend, so that still adds up to 7, 8, 9 days.
Mm-hmm. Then you're not wasting your time on a train platform trying to figure out where to go or what to do. You know, Americans, we don't have the flexibility. Like, we can't afford to get lost or derailed when we're traveling. Yeah. So, that's definitely a great benefit to G-Adventures or group travel in that sense, too.
And now that you bring up group travel again, we mentioned earlier in the podcast about that it's small group travel. Can you define that for us? You know, it's not the huge 45, 50 person motor coach. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, you're definitely not seeing these countries from the inside of a giant motor coach, which is great. The trips max out at 15, and the average is 10. And like Jeremy said, with some of the sailing trips, it's even smaller than that. So it is a nice small little group. And so you do definitely get more opportunities for cultural immersion in that sense, because there's not a giant herd of people. You can blend in a little bit more easily.
You're not following a flag around.
It is a good way for us to help people think about, you know, for folks who want to do a week long, like bachelor getaway, or, you know, an extended family of, you know, a mom, dad, and the two kids, and maybe, you know, a sibling who has a couple of kids, that they can actually almost have that boat to themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, that those two families together could have the boat to themselves.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think that's a way for us to help us think, you know, the only times that we do get, you know, requests for those smaller groups, and they can almost have that whole trip just to themselves.
It becomes a private tour. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. And all of our trips are guaranteed as well. There are other travel operators where you can pay for a tour that's not guaranteed to run, which is kind of scary to lose your vacation on that. But all G-Adventure trips are guaranteed to go. So even if your family's the only ones that have booked on, it's you're at no risk of it being canceled.
Well, that's great to know.
That's a glorious. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. You can also search for Fly Away in the search box. Please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. We want to thank you once again, Jeremy and Kelsey, for joining us. Thank you so much for spending your evening with us.
It was great to talk to you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
And then on behalf of Lindsay, Laura, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you all for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.